Okay, friends, hello. We are back again to our study of the egoic lotus. I think it's always good when I can to hold the picture up before us because there are many correlations here, and there are certain things we have to memorize. We have to memorize the name of each petal, such as knowledge, 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 love, and so forth. The tiers of the petals, the knowledge tier, the love tier, the sacrifice tier. Soon we will have to memorize the colors that are connected with each one of these petals, and maybe the primary or the particular color associated with each one of the tiers, orange particularly for the knowledge tier, rose color for the love tier, and yellow for the sacrifice tier. We have been discussing the energy transfers, the different types of energy transfers which occur from the time that a man is living well and truly below the diaphragm to the period when he is in fact passing beyond the third degree and towards the fourth degree. In the mystical life, which is the life of the true spiritual aspirant, we have a stage in which all the lower energies go to the solar plexus, thence to be carried to the heart and throat. This is an early stage of the mystical life. The period is the path of probation, aspiration and probation. Much work being done in petal 5, the later part of it, and in petal 6. The keynote is discipline, and idealism and the sixth ray are involved. Then the second period on the mystical path is the transference of the personality life into the Ajna Center, and the personality becomes integrated and powerful. We might consider this, in a way, a post-mystical personal integration. Well, since it's mystical, it can never be entirely the selfish integration that we experienced more at the beginning of petal number 5. The later stages of the path of discipleship, so up till the third initiation, and there are different chakras and triangles, chakric triangles, to be associated here. We may go to page, 170 or so in a treatise on cosmic fire, and that would tell us something about the chakric triangles involved at these different stages. The keynote is the expression of the soul through the medium of the personality, and here the understanding of the plan is found, and we are really dealing with the true disciple, almost with the initiate, and then a third and final stage, which he does not much describe. All the forces are blended. They're focused in the Ajna Center, with the soul forces in the head center, and a kind of divine marriage occurs. So, what's so interesting is the way the Kundalini power surges upward on the impulse of devotion, aspiration, and enlightened will. Now, who would have imagined that devotion and aspiration were so involved in the upward surging of the Kundalini? You know, sometimes it just seems like an act of will that takes it from the base to the crown, and thus fuses itself with the spiritual will. So there are a number of these lists, we might say, these lists that take us from an early stage to a later stage. Even the rising of the Kundalini takes place in three levels, and this is not simply the stimulation of the solar plexus, but of the solar plexus by the Kundalini, and of the heart by the Kundalini, and the throat, and all the five lower forms of energy focused in the Ajna in the head, from which it is these energies are directed to the highest head center. And earlier in this section on the transference of energy, he gave us, let's see, seven periods under the title A, B, C, D, E, F, G, seven of them. And he talked about the degree of activation of the centers, all the way from the sluggish and semi-dormant state to a powerful, scintillating, radiant period at stage number G, a period wherein the highest center, head center, is brought into radiant activity. We began with a period in which even the lowest centers were sluggish, and gradually there became the activation of the centers until the central area of each chakra dominated and overpowered and, as it were, overcame the other parts of the chakras. So that's another one of those lists of progressions, and we see how the different chakras function in terms of their activation. And then 3 points related to the transcendence of energy, of all the lower centers to the higher ones, of the energy of the base of the spine along the spinal column via the Ajna center. The sacral center must be risen to the throat, and this we are familiar with, the solar plexus to the heart. And all these centers are developed and brought into activity in three stages. So every one of these centers in the A to G list goes through a period of sluggishness and eventually, sooner or later, enters a period of great activity and radiance. The lower centers become more radiant sooner. And let's see, there's probably one more list that we have to look at. The undeveloped man through the three centers below the diaphragm, the average man primarily through the solar plexus, beginning the process of transference, the aspirants with energy rising to the throat center, and they become creative in the higher sense, and the soul also nourishes the throat center. The world disciples, I guess there are five of these stages, world disciples with the throat and heart center, and it is these energies are being raised to the Ajna. So this creates the integrated personality. How far does it go? Up to the third degree. That is where the real integrated personality is found. And the more advanced disciples and world initiates connecting with the highest center at the top of the head. So that's just a brief review of this section that we had on energy transference. And in every petal, there is a tendency for different chakras to be activated. For instance, the fifth petal is one of the strong heart center chakras. The second petal, a strong solar plexus chakra. Some degree of the mentalized sacral center is coming in at the third petal. The base of the spine and the sacral are obviously strong at the first petal. There is the blending of heart and throat at the fifth petal, the personality and the soul. And I think we can begin to look for, I think the Ajna is also powerful at the fifth petal, but I think at the seventh petal, where we are really beginning on the path of sacrifice and beginning to direct all energies in the proper way according to the plan, the Ajna center is found there. The head center, obviously, at the ninth petal, the Ajna and heart found at the eighth petal, and so forth. We'll get into this discussion. When we talk about the higher, the synthesizing petals, we are pretty much working within the field of the head. And we have the seven head centers. We have the Ajna series of centers. We have the centers at the top of the head, of which there are more than one. And then we have the highest head center with the synthesizing power of will. So the head is pretty much involved in the synthesizing petals, and the heart in the head as well, since the synthesizing petals are the product of a Buddhic emanation. All right, I just wanted to review that because it's not always satisfactory to me to go through it the first time. So much seems to be left out and an overview may be lacking. So that at the beginning of the next program, I sometimes attempt to create a little bit of a review which will help clarify. The point is, when we look at our own life, we should be able to have an idea of what tier we're working in, or tiers, what petal is our particular concentration at the time, what particular chakras and energy transferences are operative in terms of the petal in which we are working. It is said that even Alice Bailey was transferring the solar plexus to the heart, and she certainly began as an initiate of the second degree, and I'm sure went on to the third degree as a world disciple. There was no question of that in my mind. Even also Dane Rudyard was considered a world disciple. I think that pretty much means an initiate of the third degree, but then DK also said that no initiate astrologers were working at the time that he wrote the book, Esoteric Astrology. So who knows, maybe Dane Rudyard later became that. That's his business, of course, but we can attempt to kind of assess his impact. His impact and that of Alice Bailey in the field of astrology, Rudyard very, very strong in the field of occultism because the master was behind it. Alice Bailey's impact amazingly strong. So now we are, excuse me, sorry, we are going to work in what will be called here the stages of appropriation. This begins with the soul appropriating its vehicles and then ends with the relinquishment of those vehicles. It's a descent and a reascent. And as we do this, we will think of the 10 soul groups or human groups, the 8 stages of adaptation, and the various stages of energy transference, and along with that, our petals and how these energy vortices are activated at certain times of the unfoldment. They are as if the evidence that a type of unfoldment is occurring. They also are a causative in terms of unfoldment because it's not only what we put into these petals or these vortices, but what comes into them from the spiritual triad as well. So they are fed from heaven, they are sustained by the solar angel, and they are also supplemented by the qualities which we add working in the quarries of the lower life. All right, so let's look at the stages of appropriation in considering the, from Esoteric Psychology 2, page 77 and 80. You know what I've tried to do. I think you have seen this. This is my table of references, and I've been more or less going in order and crossing them out as we complete them. Well, we can never say we complete them. All we can say is that we have given some attention to them because this information will all be drawn together when we start studying the egoic lotus petal by petal and bring in the many factors which are operative in the stimulation, organization, unfoldment, opening of the petals. Perhaps it's a lot to consider, but one wants to think, if possible, in terms of synthesis. I think it is very useful for the occult mind to think in terms of synthesis. Yes. All right. So the stages of appropriation. In considering the processes of appropriation, the following phrases should be studied, I guess not just listed, as they throw light upon the various steps from different angles. Well, you know, it can take quite a long time for the soul to appropriate its vehicles, a long time before birth. There is a great preparation that goes on before the building of the physical body in the mother on the model of the etheric body. Only those souls which have appropriated their mental sheath and their astral sheath are ready at the time of conception to link themselves to an etheric body upon which the building of the dense physical body can occur. So there is, in this downward process, the stage of concretization and materialization. The soul takes what it to itself, what it needs and desires for form building, and we have the engagement of the transmitting devas, the building devas, the manipulating devas, and of course the elemental essence itself out of which the vehicles are built. So it's a group process, and the soul is directing it. But some of these devas, of course, can also direct the process. To what degree are they conscious? That remains to be seen, but they, in a sense, know what they are doing. So the soul is building before incarnation occurs on the model of the physical, astral, permanent atoms, and the mental unit, which is called the atomic triangle. The soul, a solar angel, is manipulating the content of those tiny force centers so that they become magnetically attractive and carry out in the matter of the dense, the matter of the dense physical plane of the planetary logos. I mean, because we're dealing with the mental, astral, and etheric physical plane, which is the dense physical body of the planetary logos and also the solar logos, including even the causal body in that dense physical body. So, but mostly we're talking about the planetary logos, and there is an attracting of the elemental lives which have served over many, many, even millions of years, and they are reattracted to the soul after having been temporarily dispersed. And then the lesser elemental essence is built in according to the patterns which are stimulated by the solar angel, those patterns found within the members of the atomic triangle. So it's all done by design, and the selection of rays is all done by design. When, as it were, the ego sounds its note, the solar angel attends to that note and sees what is needed. DK gave the example of how the mystic types sometimes will need a fifth ray personality in order to build in a steadier and more accurate mind. That's one of the examples he gives. And that was detected from the sounding of the note by the ego before incarnation, and then the solar angel can get to work on that process and bring together the energies that are required and also the timing of astrological energies so that the new incarnation is fully equipped to take the next step in the building process. Then comes the stage of incarnation, and taken at this time blindly, I think as the ego on the higher mental plane becomes more and more developed, its participation in the incarnation process increases. But at first, when you have the newly made man with the with the newly made human being, incarnation is at first blind. And maybe it's guided somewhat by the solar angel or somewhat by other external factors, but let's just say that the self-conscious man is not really taking part in the selection of the kind of incarnation that it is to be. So, you know, appropriation, it means making something one's own, gathering something to oneself, the different types of energies, the different types of beings, the different types of matter, all of these magnetically gathered to the soul. The period, now, of course, now the incarnation has come. The period wherein satisfaction of the desires is the major goal. These range all the way from physical desire and its satisfactions to the general and undefined desire for release. So there are desires even in the first petal, and these will be particularly physical satisfactions, physical desire. They will relate to the planet Mars very much, as we will see. He does expand the concept all the way far ahead to the desire for release, but perhaps life can appear painful enough so that even before the incarnating man realizes anything about the higher self, he begins to develop a desire for release into heaven or haven, even in the second petal. I imagine that that can happen, not realizing that this heaven is really an aspect of himself, and that he has a higher nature which is heavenly. So the satisfaction of desires, it's a red period. I think it's very much going on in the hall of ignorance, particularly because there is ignorance of the higher nature. Later there is also a more defined desire for release carried on within the petals of love, where the duality of man begins to be cognized or recognized in the consciousness. So there are various processes involved here that are cyclic in terms of incarnation, and the inner man begins to take a degree of control over these different vehicles. The process of appropriating a body or body, a sheath or sheaths, a vehicle or vehicles, a form or forms, these are all pretty much equivalent terms. So it is a habitual process always to have new bodies, new sheaths, new vehicles, new forms, constantly improving if all is going well. So these are early incarnations in the hall of ignorance, and there is some degree, increasing degree, of control over these vehicles, which is being exerted, but it's not control to execute the plan or something of that nature. It's control in order to fulfill one's desires, to achieve satisfaction. So the incarnating soul is quite blind, very identified with the body or bodies. This is all going on in the outer petals, in the hall of ignorance. So we have immersion in darkness. The number six. Six represents the number of the form, and Mars is the planet of immersion in this particular sense, and lower Saturn. This is not about spiritual consciousness pull of Venus or the higher planets, but there are always, of course, lower expressions of the various planets depending on the form through which the energies of the planets are expressing. Immersion in darkness. This was the result of desire, lower desire, heading for the D. The D is the fourth level. It's the fourth letter, the fourth number. It's the dense physical plane in that respect. The darkness of ignorance was chosen, and the soul incarnation started on its cyclic pilgrimage into the dense physical vehicle of the planetary logos, consisting of the 18 subplanes. The darkness of ignorance was chosen, and man started through desire to work his way gradually from darkness to light, from ignorance to knowledge, and from the unreal to the real. We all recognize those ancient mantras: lead us from darkness to light, lead us from the unreal to the real, lead us from death to immortality. But let's just say it hasn't really begun yet, because the man is very much immersed in ignorance, in the forms which he has appropriated and taken to himself because of the way that the solar angel has constructed those forms. And the man is naturally identified with the construction, and he has not come to himself in terms of realizing what he really is. Such is the great symbolic work of Masonry. It is an elucidation of the way of relinquishment. That's a beautiful idea for the Masons. It is a gradual giving up of that with which one was identified. And you can understand that this path leads to participation in the processes of the sacrifice petals, S-A-C-P-S. Okay, so by the time we reach the petals of sacrifice, we are in the initiatory stream, which is achieved through sacrifice, through the making sacred of all things. That means to make all things correspond to the higher patterns which are in heaven, and which are meant somehow to structure all of the lower conditions. So lead us from darkness to light. In Masonry, there is the great search for Masonic light. Okay. We're still on this path of outer appropriation, we might say. The path of outgoing in order to possess. So this is the centripetal force, and Mars takes you to the periphery of life. It's been said of Mars, he who goes forth. And always, this is a period of spiritual extroversion. Spiritual extroversion. The man does not yet know what he is, and he's fascinated by all that is presented to his consciousness, by the forms which the solar angel has created, and by other forms which other spiritual creators have created. We might simply call that his lower environment. So he wants to have. And this acquisitive urge is still very much in the hall of ignorance. It's still operative in the lower three petals, in the petals of knowledge concerning the physical plane. And in a way, man is learning all about the physical plane without realizing that he has a higher self, which is part of his nature. So then another Martian quality is selfishness. The major characteristic of the self in relation to and identified with the not-self. If I think I am the not-self, I will be selfish. I will grasp at the not-self. I will want it for my own. I will not share that which is found in the not-self. So we can link this with stage of adaptation number 4, which spans a number of stages of bewildering complexity, you know, but it is a stage, basically, of selfish adaptation, even though at the extremes of that adaptation, the man is more cognizant of the needs of others, which he is able to acknowledge not for the sake of altruism, but because it will make it easier for him to acquire that which he selfishly wants. So even the human group or soul group number 5 can express this selfishness quite strongly. So whenever we're dealing with the fifth petal, we have the sign Leo involved. And Leo is a very potentially selfish sign. It is often found where the Black Lodge has made its incursions, because the Black Lodge depends upon the fostering of the ahamkara quality, this sense of limiting I-ness, not a unitive I-ness, but a limited I-ness. Of course, there are, you know, Leo people who have gone far beyond that, obviously. But when we're stuck in our own lower ego, we are really identified with an aspect of the not self. It's the self which we stubbornly, it's the not self which we stubbornly think is the self. And it's so very close to us that we persist in identifying with it. It's hard to shake off that ahamkara. So the path of outgoing, I demand this, I want this, I want these satisfactions, I hold to things, and I aggrandize the not-self, which I have thought to be myself. So I aggrandize the not-self, which I have thought to be myself. And maybe the not-self, maybe that should be, you know, in a way capitalized. It's truer. The fifth petal has a lot of this, the apotheosis of personality grandeur, you know, in the fifth petal. So in the fifth petal, we have the apotheosis of personality grandeur. The man becomes, DK says, colossal. How do you spell that? Well, maybe that's close enough. The man becomes colossal in his mind and in his personality nature. Of course, it's a pretty small victory and it doesn't last because always something reveals that there is more. And that integration is interrupted by the intrusion of the higher self. All of this is occurring in the fifth petal. The man is creative at first. He is a thinker. He's in human group number 6, but he has not yet become truly the aspirant because he has not become discontent with his own personal grandeur, and it inevitably does happen. Sometimes, as Carl Jung said, it's accompanied by such dreams as the king is sick. Well, the king is the lower ego, however grand it thinks it may be, and there's something wrong with the king, and only some medicine from the higher planes can solve the problem. So there is this love of possession. We can see how the Taurus will get in here, a prostituted Venus as well. Too much love of the not-self, really. Excuse me. Too much love of the not-self. So one is, let's just say, so attached. Attached to one's ego and attached to all that one's ego possesses. And you can see this in the world today. You see people who are, through greed, amassing tremendous fortunes at the expense of other people, and they somehow are attempting to inflate and aggrandize the not-self, which they have decided that they are. I was just reading, you know, let's just say that the gap between the super rich and the poor or the average person is just widening all the time, and it's going to bring great stability and possibly revolution as it almost always has. And this is because the people who are acquiring for themselves feel no responsibility that they must share. There is nothing in them except their own picture of themselves and its grandeur. And of course, that was what the Black Lodge in Atlantean days suffered from. Heights of luxury, personal grandeur, maybe some sort of magnetic love and caring for those who were very closest to them. And who were considered to be reflections of themselves, you know, the offspring, the children, not as independent beings, but as a reflection of what you are, you know, my children, as if one owned them. So we can see that even people can be possessed in this stage, and that a great detachment must be in the offing, must come inevitably, because after all, man is much more than this, and when the higher part of himself begins to intrude in this great fanciful picture of life that he has made, extreme discomfort is caused and conflict. So there is the acquisitiveness. This is a very Taurian earth sign type of thing, third ray as well, because so much of the unfoldment of the egoic lotus at first is on the third ray, with the prostitution of second ray magnetism and first ray will to third ray ends. Third ray, third petal, using one's intelligence to get, and this continues as you augment your sense of power. Let's just say that, I think I'll put this here, that first and second aspects are misused for the sake of the acquisitive third aspect of divinity. Comes this period of riotous living on the fringes of life, out there, far away from the Father's home. The prodigal son is the monad in extension, the jiva, the one who has gone forth. Impulses come from your lower nature, and you follow them without any higher plan. You're living it up. This is a period of what should we call it? License. License. No rules contain you except the wish to aggrandize what you think you are. So we all know where this is going. It's going to lead to surfeit, the sense of nausea, over fullness with the husks of life. Eventually, man spends himself and has nothing left. Man spends himself and is left destitute of energy and incentive, because the higher self within him obviously is going to be pulling on him, and it pulls away. It starts to pull away from all of his outward bound centrifugal tendencies, the Martian tendencies. So the application and use of energy for personal selfish intent, this is very much going to be found in the fifth petal, the early part of it, and building up to that through the fourth petal, and you have to have, of course, have the mind of the third petal to do it. And then we have the fullness of personality life with all that is therein implied, ambition, selfish purpose, etc. So we have, the nth degree of selfishness in stage of adaptation number 4. He didn't really get into the degrees of selfishness in the human groups. He did talk about stage of adaptation, I think it was number 2, where you have the petty criminal and the animal cunning, but this is much, much more. This is very deliberate. It's egotistical. Deliberate egotism at this point. And maybe this is what Master DK means by those lives where 3, 7, or even 11 lives are, where does he get those figures? That's just amazing to me, because he seems very definite about them. So there must be some kind of cyclic, cyclic process which yields those numbers. Anyway, 3, 7, or even 11 of the dominant personality, without thinking of the higher self. The personality itself becomes as if a higher self, and everything is centralized within this dominant personality on whatever ray it might be, because, you don't have to be ray one to dominate. There's all sorts of ways of making your personality intrude upon the rights of others on any of the rays, and you can feel very self-satisfied about it. So just think, we've all been through this business, and still a number of us, we can still detect vestiges in our life, can we not? So there is, he's summing it up, there is attachment to the seen, the known, the familiar, oftentimes called the personality, the familiar self, the external objective form. So this is not the period of the sun, it's the period of the moon, and if the sun, then the lowest aspect of the sun connected with ray 3, which we know operates through rotary motion and is separative. So Leo is one of the most separative signs. Ray 3, we know how separative it can be, oftentimes with the factor of criticism. This is a situation which has to be reoriented, is it not? The stage wherein thought forms are built, at first ignorantly and then with deliberate selfishness. The mind is in use, but if it's going to serve the personality, we've got to at least get into petal 4 and 5. The mind is in use in petal 3, but there's not enough lower ego to really fit with this stage that we're talking about. So we selfish building for the sake of aggrandizement, the period of engrossment, there's a good word. A person cannot extricate himself, cannot disentangle himself in the things of the kingdom of earth. This is the world of the trio, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And there is no, at this point, no spiritual refinement. Even though there is capacity, which when there is a reorientation can be used in a better way. So he ends it by saying basically the world, the flesh, and the devil. These are the physical heads of the Hydra. The flesh is desire, that's the astral heads. The devil is mental. And in all of this, matter is reigning. You know, it's kind of Virgo, ruled by the moon. It is the material aspect which has ascendancy. It is Cassiopeia, the queen of materiality. She sits on the throne, and there has been no battle for detachment. Let's just say that all of this is the product of attachment. So, I think we can see how the man does descend, yes, and how it leads to a great snare, and he is on the point through great dissatisfaction of the first reversal of the wheel. Okay, reversal of the wheel. Well, I know I've had it spelled out, but I'll just do it that way. Reversal of the wheel. When in the fifth petal, he really becomes sick of his not-self, which has been posing up the self as the self. He begins to realize he's been living in a very little kingdom after all. So this has taken him to the fifth petal. He is a thinking, powerful individual, but his thoughts are guided towards his own aggrandizement, and he is working still in the field of the personality, which he mistakes for reality. So he is the victim of illusion, glamour, illusion, and Maya. Maya, glamour, and illusion. And one of the greatest illusions is the illusion of ahamkara, that the personal self is the real self, and this he has to be disabused of this point of view. On the side of soul and expression, we're now going to reverse our direction. We're going to begin to rise, which is governed by detachment. The following phrases and sentences will give an idea of the progress and intent. Now, you know, obviously these things just take lives and lives to work through, and people like ourselves certainly should be on this rising arc. the stage of spiritualization and of dematerialization, kind of a new view of race 7, the soul functions with the purpose of liberation before it. That's the soul in incarnation, and not of physical, further physical plane experience, so we become tired. Become tired of all we have accumulated, realizing it to be a limitation, and that we are engrossed in that which is not real. Now, not everybody necessarily has to go through such extreme phases of ahamkara. I think it might be possible to reach the fifth petal and disengage oneself from this without becoming a totally dominant personality who is completely in illusion. I think, you know, maybe first-ray types may create that very dominant personality, the first-ray soul types, but then they're also quicker to destroy its hold, I suppose. The relinquishment of form life. Well, the prodigal son realizes that he is eating the husks of life, and even a servant in his father's house is better cared for than he is. The old nostalgia awakens in him, and he begins to realize what he has left behind. The period wherein satiety is experienced. The desires have been so dominant and so often satisfied that they no longer attract. And, you know, what is said to oneself, is this all there is? I read about a man who had achieved fame, a young man, and there he committed suicide shortly after. He had a great following. He was some kind of entertainer. And then he said, well, I have everything I want. Is this all there is? Well, he had not been reached by his own higher of the pairs of opposites to begin to attract him. I was thinking about, you know, Madonna is a perfect example of an incredible, she is a Leo, by the way, and she has this incredible fifth petal operation going on. You know, she is just the most dominant and to some attractive personality, and yet she's interested in the Kabbalah. Why is this? Something of the higher self is awakening in her, and then there's going to be this pull between that which belongs to another world and that which belongs to the world that she has conquered. But at a certain point, she's going to say, well, is this all there is? When there's the whole planet, the whole solar system, finally the whole universe? So this would be then beginning to move into Leo stage two. So there, instead of appropriation of the body or bodies and of the sheath or sheaths and vehicle or vehicle and form and forms, there is the way of, let's call it, okay, that's not going to work. We'll call it divine extrication. And there's no such word, but I'll use it anyway. Disengrossment. because we've been so engrossed, we've been so trammeled by matter, and we begin to realize we have been slaves to matter. Now, this is going to begin to occur in the fifth petal. This is going to occur in the seventh human group where the aspirants or probationers are coming in. This is going to begin to occur, I think, in the, is it the sixth or the seventh stage of adaptation? This is perhaps not... I think I should do this one. It might be easier to see. The sixth stage begins the process of aspiration. The helping of group needs. So the true motive is to train the threefold lower nature. There's no such thing as killing the personality. So this is carried on by aspirants. So by the sixth stage of adaptation, people are beginning to wake up to their imprisonment and becoming the true aspirant, right? And on the way to, and including discipleship, I think, because the next stage is stage number 7, which is a completely unselfish adaptation. And, well, no aspirant is completely unselfish, that's for sure. All right, so now we go back to the stages of appropriation. Right. So now, out of the darkness of matter, because that was the parallel, wasn't it? You know, immersion in darkness, emergence into light, a symbolic way of expressing the reverse of immersion in darkness. And the light of the soul, begins to show itself, especially, in all the vehicles, but I suppose especially in the mind, and a greater light lures us on, and what matter can offer, coming as it does from the previous solar system and from a creative regime that is already spent and is simply residual, it no longer attracts. So the path of return is beginning now, motivated by the wish to appropriate nothing for the separated self. By the time we end the Leo pedal, there's a whole different idea of what the self is, and the higher or unitive self comes into it, and the disciplining of the sixth pedal also enters. So this path of return is a path of aspiration, of probation, and of discipleship, of initiation, and finally, of mastership. The beginning of group consciousness and of group work. Well, we're sacrificing our ahamkara, and this means that we're beginning to work in the sacrifice pedals. The selfishness, the major characteristic of the soul, selflessness, the major characteristic of the soul itself. This means initiation 1 and 2, the Buddhic energy enters the soul life and stimulates the heart center, and one can have the birth of the Christ in the heart, and one can have a purified astral nature, which begins to aspire towards the realities of life. So Uranian freedom comes in, freedom from desire to possess. I mean, Taurus can give that too. The Buddha was a Taurus, and he had great freedom from the desire to possess anything material. The highest form of spiritual aspiration, aspirational idealism, is found in Taurus. That's a quote from esoteric astrology. So freedom from the desire to possess, freedom from acquisitiveness, who wants to hang on to what is not real, and therefore the state of desirelessness, and this is coming in at the second degree. The desirelessness is still a probationary initiation, but at the second degree, selfishness is been dealt a major blow, and one, well, you can't get rid of desire, but you can get rid of desire for that which is not worthy, useful, for that which is confining, restricting. You can get rid of that kind of desire, and you can begin to desire something that is much higher, the higher of your pairs of opposites, the higher self. You can begin to desire that, and we do. And let's see, if we went back and we looked at number 8 up here, it wouldn't be freedom, would it? It would be the love of possession. So acquisitiveness is number 9, and let's see how it works down here. The establishing of the sense of reality and the ruling principle of life. So we are approaching the third degree. Lead us from darkness to light, from the unreal to the real, and from death to immortality. So certainly, from the unreal to the real is found as the monad makes its impression at the third degree. So from the unreality of material life, we are establishing, we're definitely working in the sacrifice pedals here, and we are sacrificing all kinds of things. The eighth pedal is very good at letting go of all kinds of things. It's a scorpionic pedal, and we remember that the group of human monads is ruled by Scorpio, of all things. Interesting. In which the moon falls. Thank goodness. So the establishing of the sense of reality as the ruling principle of life, and then return of the prodigal son. So the monad is now within range, and we are coming in touch with the monadic life, and so the father aspect is making its nature felt. It certainly does that in the ninth petal. It does that in the synthesis petals. And the more the jewel in the lotus is revealed, the more the father's home is revealed, because the jewel in the lotus is, in a way, an extension of the monad onto the higher mental plane, or at least onto the borderland between the higher mental plane and the Buddhic plane. So then comes a service, I suppose, the application and use of energy for group purpose and cooperation with the plan as a whole. He is definitely the initiate here. And what did it say earlier? Because it's probably good to contrast what the earlier ones were. The application of energy for personal selfish intent. Well, okay, and that's not at all what we have now. It's the application of energy for the whole. And the beginning of isolated unity, or the awareness of the whole, is coming in. The fifth rule, let the group know there are no other selves. That's the ninth rule, and then the macrocosmic whole is all there is. The macrocosmic wholeness, that's the fifth rule. So the man is initiate. And instead of the life of the personality, we have the life of the soul, with all that is implied in that phrase. And this is going on between the third and fourth initiations. And this is the nine petals are completely open, and the synthesis petals are rapidly opening. So he's focused now on the higher mental plane. He's an initiate of the third degree. And there's the love of God, so the Buddhic energy is coming in. Remember that the synthesis petals are Buddhic. Okay, that is something we should be understanding. The the petals of PTL of synthesis, okay, the synthesis petals are Buddhic in origin and are related to the love energy. So the causal body is beginning to disappear. It does disappear on its outer tier first. The knowledge petals begin to dissolve, and I suppose knowledge becomes intuition. So now, in this detaching process, there is an attachment to that which is not tangible, to the unseen, the true, the subjective, and the real. And this is possible via the Antikarana, which is in process of building. You know, do we still have a causal body here? Well, perhaps we do, but we can be impressed by the spiritual triad because the Antikarana has been built. So this is only possible when there has been detachment from the seen, the false, the objective, and the unreal. So there is a real detachment which has occurred, and no more is the outer world considered anything but a sphere of service. It's certainly not a sphere of great interest or a sphere of acquisition. So there is a complete liberation from the control of the lower mind. We're dealing with the higher mind and with the abstract mind, with the intuition. There is the conquering of illusion, which we pretty well do by the time the third degree is taken, at least one type of illusion. Master D.K. said we don't really conquer illusion until the ninth initiation. The period wherein the center of interest is the kingdom of God and of the soul, and we can focus at will on the higher mental plane. And now we have even gone beyond the, looks like here we have gone beyond the egoic lotus altogether. Reality, formlessness, God, this is the life of the monad. Liberated from the causal body because the egoic lotus is also a form. So this is atmic and monadic, and we have transcended the causal body. So it should be remembered when considering the seven ray methods of appropriation and the reverse stages that we are dealing with energies. Occult students must increasingly think and work in terms of energy. These energies are spoken of esoterically as having impulsive effect, driving effects, magnetic appeals, and focused activities. So those are the three aspects of divinity through those three descriptions. The streams or emanations of energy exist, as is well known, in seven major qualities or aspects. Maybe they are more spheres of radiation. They carry the sons of men into incarnation and withdraw them from incarnation. We enter upon our ray, we exit upon our ray, and it all depends on ray cycles. They have their own specific qualities and characteristics, and these determine the nature of the forms constructed, different for each ray. The quality of the life which is expressed in any particular time or any particular incarnation, because a ray is quality. The length of the life cycle, because people on different rays live in a differential manner according to the ray tendency. And the appearance and disappearance of any of the three form aspects which are appearing and disappearing according to the rays that qualify the forms. So certain brief paragraphs will suffice to define the stages of appropriation. The paragraphs which detail the method of detachment has been given earlier in White Magic. So we are not going on further with the stage of appropriation. We're simply thinking about what it all means to descend into matter and to rise out of matter. And we're thinking about the progress from the petals of ignorance, the first three, through the petals of love with all of the normal life of the human being, through the petals of detachment, which are the sacrifice petals. And then we have the synthesizing work going on in the petals of synthesis. And in this appropriation, descent, and reascent, we've even gone beyond the causal body. So, where in the stage of appropriation do we find ourselves? Hopefully we are divesting ourselves of unreality. Okay, so we are hopefully divesting ourselves of unreality and are achieving something of a knowledge of reality, formlessness, and God, some degree of monadic impression. Okay, well, I've done that rather quickly, but it is 1 hour, 1 hour and 1 minute or so, almost 2 minutes, and I think maybe enough has been said here for you to get the idea of the appropriative descent and then the appropriation of higher energies and the dispropriation or the divesting of the lower unreal energies. And we will go on to a program number 10, wherever it is. I have to see what I'll do because these are the background materials. So this is the end of Egoic Lotus Webinar Commentaries, Program 9. It is 1 hour or so, 1 hour, 3 minutes. And there is here EP2, page 77. Is it to, well, what is it? 77 to 80. All right. We can do that 77 to 80, and now we'll begin with something fresh. Okay, friends, quite interesting to think about that. Put together now the stages of appropriation, put together the transferences of energy, put together the 8 stages of adaptation, put together the 10 human groups. Let all of the mercurial connections come before your eye because they are all interrelated, and intuition will reveal the true relationships. The mind can only set up those relationships. Okay, we'll see you. Bye-bye.